Hey, good morning, everybody. If you are in the UK or wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us. And huge thank you to Kirby Summers for coming on at such short notice. All of Kirby's social media website links are in the description box. And Kirby has been reporting on these things for a very long time, doing insane research, getting to the bigger picture, the deeper dives than the pathetic mainstream media are letting us know about. And we're going to get to all that. I'll get the picture, the sunk Prince Andrew on the screen. So first off, Kirby, thank you for coming on. And I'm just wondering, when this news story hit a couple of days ago, whereby it was announced that she had 4 days to live, how did that make you feel?
Well, I was a mess. I mean, I heard it from another Jeff survivor, and by the way, thank you for having me on. And at first I thought, well, this can't be because it had Virginia's maiden name on it, and I thought, well, I knew that there were some issues. I didn't think she was going to be using her maiden name, so my first thing was to say, oh my God, it can't be her. This has got to be a mistake. And of course, I went and it was her. And so I did a live. So many people joined me on the live. And we went over this. Now, here's the thing that people, and we'll be talking about this, I believe, at some point later. People think that this kind of thing cannot happen. However, so I did the live. I was in tears for a good portion of it. I thank the audience for staying with me through it, and I'm very grateful to hear that Virginia, although she is not out of the woods, people, because she has suffered some severe internal trauma. And as we know through Sean's podcast of yesterday, or was it yesterday? Yes, I think you did one of yesterday where you updated people on the status. Now, Virginia's just a tiny girl. She's short, and she's fragile. She's a fragile girl. The photograph, and for people who commented in a very ugly way about her, quote, taking selfies, what I want to make very clear is that the victims, for the most part, all of them were very private people. They were not on social media. They were, in fact, encouraged by David Boies when he took certain victims on to start accumulating good faith among the public because this was becoming the biggest story on the planet at the time. And so, for example, I did say that when I initially came across Virginia, she had 300 followers on X. She was very, to herself. She had not really been tweeting. None of the girls had been tweeting. So that the not only did he encourage them to start sharing information to, I guess, garner the make them more, relatable to people, but to garner the support of the public, which I believe was needed at the time, and also, I suppose, to make this something that the media would pick up on and be able to, let's say, what they did, cite Virginia on this, cite her on this, cite her on that. However, this when he took them on, not only, and as per the victims, a few of them themselves who told me that when David took them on, David Boies, he took over their access to their social media. So it's not just that he encouraged them to tweet, take photographs, share information, but he had access. And in one case, which I won't name who, he just deleted her entire account at one point. So that the fact that Virginia, who I understand, went home, the media did not think, or the authorities in Australia did not think it was, quote, a big accident, but looking at that photograph of Virginia, apparently it was enough to do that to her. And then she went back to the hospital. She's not out of the woods. something is happening with her kidneys and all of that. And the worst thing can happen. However, it was supposed to be a private thing. And again, she's not somebody to look for attention. She was conditioned to do things like this by her attorneys.
Yeah, and they've used the fact that the driver, he had to, there was a legal requirement for him to report the accident. And when he reported it, he'd put down that nobody was injured. So it's like the mainstream media have misconstrued that report to make it out as if Virginia is lying and that she's not injured because no injuries were reported. But that's just a manipulation of the data, as far as I can see.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear that she's got, you can't miss the injuries. What we can't see is what's happening to her internally. And we know that she's estranged by her own posting on Insta. We know that she's estranged from her children who she adores. I mean, when she had her little girl, that's when she decided that's it. When the FBI contacted her, it was the birth of her girl, because she has two boys and one girl, that it prompted her to, you know what, to hell with my own privacy, to hell with my life. I'm going to go into this full speed because of her daughter and the love for her children and her love for humanity. And to see so many people take pot shots at someone. Who, okay, she's not dying. Okay, maybe she is, though. We don't know. She's not out of the woods. She's in the hospital. She's being transferred or is already in another facility to look after what's happened to her. But the news is not being reported accurately, and nor are, let's say, the ongoing lawsuits by victims of Jeff that. You know, we had a hearing just last week. We had other things going on. And eventually, in this conversation, I'll fill p people in on the fact that the lawsuits continue. They're just not being reported. You know, mainstream is not on the ball here.
Well, the mainstream's fall into lockstep today, which makes me even more suspicious. The headline here across the board is that Virginia was charged with a breaching restraining order days before the crash. She was due to appear in court for breaching a family violence restraining order just days before claiming she had days to live following a bus crash. So you can see the establishment protecting itself now with all these hit pieces and just getting into lockstep, going against her. You know, and obviously we know who they support, the mainstream characters and people who are representing them, such as Victoria Hervey, who horribly trolled Virginia on her Instagram. We covered that last night and some of the responses to it, but we'll also get to that and the lawsuits in more detail with you, Kirby.
Well, what I want to say is that the mainstream media back in 2019, 2020, they were really into trying to find out any kind of dirt on Virginia. They weren't necessarily on her side, even though we had just been through the Harvey Weinstein situation, where the media finally began to look at people who had been exposed, because it's not just women, it wasn't just minors, it's men too, and it's boys, it's across the board, and this predatory behavior. However, and I've never said this publicly, and perhaps nobody has said it publicly, one of the things that the media, and I was in touch with the media clearly because they would contact me all the time. They wouldn't cite me, but then I would get feedback, right? One of the stories that they were going to run with, and they decided apparently not to, was that Robbie was somewhat abusive to her. And that I had not heard, in fact, I haven't looked at today's news stories. If, in fact, it is being said that she was supposed to appear in court for something like that. So, like for example, I lived in California for a while, and each state, as well as I suppose each country, So my husband at the time got abusive toward me. And when I contacted the police, it was like it goes into the record that, let's say, both parties are abusive. So that, let's say, in Australia, if she was supposed to show up for something, I would imagine she's too little. She's a small girl and he's a big guy and he's supposed to be an expert in all kinds of like karate things or things like that. That's what I remember about him. And not to, I don't know, we were not there, but if that's what's being reported, they waited a long time because she has possibly been a victim of domestic abuse for a long time. It has just not been discussed. I do, Virginia is not a violent person. We've seen that. You can tell who's violent. Let's say somebody like Victoria Hervey, who I have a lot of information to share about, and it's none of it is pretty. Somebody like her, as skinny as she is, all just the bones on her, that woman is vicious. There isn't a vicious bone in Virginia Giuffre's body, but that story was suppressed. That could be true, but come on. Virginia stayed with Robbie, who did save her. We have to give him credit for that. They have three beautiful children. Apparently, Virginia has stated on her Instagram that their minds, meaning the minds of her children, are being filled. And that happens in a divorce, right? One parent will say things, in addition to which, the victims of situations like this, including the victims of Harvey Weinstein and certain victims of Jeff, including, let's say, Juliette Rose Bryant, who lives in Africa and who I have been communicating with, she has been physically beaten up by people inserted into her life. So we learned this during the Harvey Weinstein situation when people were inserted into the life of Rose McGowan by Harvey Weinstein, whose attorney, incidentally, was none other than David Boies. So the same thing has been happening to Juliette Rose Bryant, who has been physically beaten up. She too put up photographs of herself, literally black eye, busted face. She's had her tires slashed. She has been aggressively followed. She has an 8-year-old child. She is terrified of leaving her house. So there's a lot that goes on that people do not see. When you are a victim, so the information, let's say, that's going into the ears of her children and perhaps the ears of her husband, it could be from people who are inserted into their lives to divide and conquer. That's an old, oh, just a tactic that's used. My allegiance is always to Virginia and the victims. Because we have to understand they're not called victims and survivors for nothing. Most of this has been proved in court of law, and we'll be going over some current lawsuits. So the ugliness that I have seen in humankind taking attacks on Virginia, who I think has withstood enough. And by the way, the photograph, I had tweeted, in fact, I retweeted it. That had a back part that we're lo just looking at the front, but the back has a timestamp. And that was produced when Jeffrey Epstein in 2010 was being deposed. The FBI, and I have we can all find the documentation, but it's on my X account. That was presented to Jeffrey Epstein because he took that photograph, and he was in his deposition shown the photo with a timestamp in the back of it. So we only see the front of it, but there is a back image of it. And he was specifically, "Hey, did you take this photograph?" Because that is what Virginia said when the FBI authenticated the FBI. Authenticated this photograph as being a real. In fact, the original has Epstein's thumb on the upper portion, which has been cut out of all of the, and this has been cropped in various ways, depending on what mainstream media shows this photograph. But Jeff's finger, thumb, showed up at the original because I saw it. It was just part of the legal documentation. And Jeff, he pled the fifth. He pled the fifth as to whether or not he took the photo. There is no question that this photograph is legitimate, and no question that Prince Andrew is a pervert, as is his friend Victoria Harvey, who's a thief. I'm not even going to say alleged thief because there's the, and her father was a thief who went to jail, and I'll be going into all of that. Excuse me if I
Well,
get upset while we discuss this, but it's very, it's an emotional, it's, you know, it's been, we've been fighting this for 6 years.
no, it's completely understandable. And I'll just read people what Lady Victoria Hervey posted to Virginia's picture of her bruised in hospital. She posted, "How does one write a massive paragraph like this on death's door? I don't believe it. Karma for all the lies." Wow.
Well, she is so she, as I don't know if people are aware, but she teamed up with Ghislaine Maxwell's family in an attempt to get Ghislaine released from jail. She is in Epstein's black book. She didn't, let's remove the word dated Prince Andrew. She had one date with Prince Andrew. And she was known as a party girl. Translate that into what you think is appropriate for that term, party girl. There is not one photograph of, despite the fact that she describes herself as a model, there is not photograph, there are no photographs of her modeling career of that, which apparently she does not have. Now, she contacted me via DM on Twitter some years ago, and I think I have verbatim. Yeah, her verbatim, her DM, which I didn't know who she was. I ignored it because I ignore all the DMs. But she, her initial ver DM to me was, "Hey, wondering if you have any diet for me on Maria or Virginia. Virginia has been silencing real victims that I'm in contact with through Bradley," and I'm assuming she meant Bradley Edwards. And then it wasn't enough that I didn't like respond to this crazy woman, because we know that we've heard via actual court documents and people who have settled with that horrific settlement agreement whereby they had to then drop the charges against their perpetrators. The following day, she goes and she DMs me again. "Are you on Insta? Because I do not use this much." So, and so her point was, and she, there was more to this, that she wanted to have me defend Prince Andrew. So I instead of answering her privately, I tweeted, and one of the one or two of the UK newspapers, in fact, carried the story the following day, because I said, "I will not help you with that fat FUCK. You know, I'm not going to help you. No, you know, and leave me alone." And what did she do? What an honorable person she is, like Prince Andrew. She completely wiped clean. She deleted her entire X account. Gone. What did she tell the media? She said, "Oh, I didn't contact Kirby Summers. No, that had to have been my assistant. Assistant, my rear end, because she has no money." I mean, so I, anyway, I she went on a one date. She has made it her mission not only to allege that Virginia Giuffre's photo is not real, but that Ghislaine Maxwell should be let out of jail. It is my opinion, and I'm going to share who she is in a moment. And brace yourselves, people, because it's ugly. This is an ugly woman inside and out, and she's from ugly blood. So don't let the royal and all of the lady, she's no lady. She must be getting paid for this. Her father is the sixth Marquis of Bristol with his third wife. Okay. Now, when this guy was born, he was in he didn't have any money because his father didn't inherit it until later. But this guy was into street violence and into just stealing and getting into all kinds of things. He was also an arms dealer. He went to prison for jewelry theft. So that when we, and then she hung around, one of her best friends was Ghislaine Maxwell, clearly. So she's working with the Maxwell family. So that when we look at Ghislaine's father, Robert Maxwell, who is known to the world now as a thief, a theft, somebody who took other people's money. That is what you are when you take other people's money. Well, she and Ghislaine have very similar paternal, let's say, influences in their lives. But there's more. Her half brother, John Hervey, well, he wasted his inheritance on drugs and died at the age of 44. Another half brother, Nicholas Hervey, died of alleged unalivement at the age of 36, allegedly for depression. And my question was, when I discovered this years ago, because when she contacted me, I had to know. Well, I always have to know who's who. So I kind of go in and I discover, well, oh, this person is kind of a little bit shady. And not only did I not want to have anything to do with her based on her initial premise, but then I realized, oh my God, this is a very shady person. So I wondered if her brother, who Nicholas, half brother, who was unalived at the age of 36. Well, was he part of the family business, meaning arms trafficking, like retaliation for having stolen things? And so, these unalivements are very questionable. The other thing was, she has no money. There was an article I was able to, there's a lot on her. I'm just going to keep talking until you tell me to shut up.
No, it's really fascinating. I didn't know all these details. Please give us as much detail as possible, Kirby.
Okay, so a man by the name of Stephen Martin he was given an entire article in the St Sunday Mirror, which is now scrubbed, but the article was October 21st, 2011, and it says, "Society gal Lady Victoria Hervey begged a nightclub boss to lend her £5,000 to pay for her 25th birthday party. But she has refused to pay him back. Now he is taking her to court to get his cash back." And then another person whose name I can't really pronounce, so it's some kind of I can't pronounce it, but the owner of L'Équipe Anglaise, a London club, said last night, "I knew Victoria well from the party scene. She was always coming to my club, and I thought I could trust her. I made the mistake of thinking a woman of her breeding." Well, clearly he didn't know anything about her breeding because she was bred by a con man, okay, who had to flee and live in, I believe they went to one of these countries where you can't be followed for taxes or anything, would keep her word, but she hasn't. And then the revelation comes in the week that the Hilton Hotel are also suing Lady Victoria for failing to settle an £11,537 bill. Now, I haven't done the transfer into US dollars, and this is back in the day from the same party. So she didn't pay for anything for her party, and she hasn't paid to anyone. People continue to say, "Oh, she owes me this, she owes me that." And then the article continues. The society girl turned to her friend when the deal with OK Magazine to pay towards the cost of the £28,000 party at the London five-star Park Lane Hilton looked like it was going to collapse. So then, what does Victoria respond to this when they actually contacted her? "Oh, I wasn't aware that he had anything to do." Come on, come on. She wasn't aware that the owner of the club had paid for, so they were all suing her. Now, there's more. There's more. She was working as, not as a model, but she was working as the receptionist of a really despicable man by the name of Michael Winner, Michael Winner, Winner. Look it up, people. In 1961, Michael Winner made a film where everybody was nude. Perhaps that was a hint of the kind of man that is of Victoria Hervey's attraction. He, once the allegations against Harvey Weinstein broke, all of these women came out of the woodwork with allegations about this Michael Winner, who was very close to Victoria Hervey, alleging that he was a creep, a pervert, all kinds of things. So he died in 2013. So the allegations were kind of kept. This is another person who was able to keep allegations, but among the women who stepped forward is a very well-known actress, Olympia Dukakis. I think people might be able to know who Olympia Dukakis is because this Harvey Weinstein-like person did the film Death Wish. And she said in an article dated 2015 of February that she was very much harassed by this man. And but the S allegations against him were not, it doesn't stop there. The stuntmen and the actors who worked with this man, Winner, said he was very abusive to them and made them do these are stuntmen, trained stuntmen, that he was a very dangerous to his crew members, filming very dangerous things. And what was Victoria Harvey? Well, she was not his model or his actress. She was his receptionist. Women referred to this man as a dirty old pervert. And so, I mean, he's just a predator like Prince Harvey. I mean, Prince Harvey. Prince, he might as well be called Prince Harvey at this time because of her. But it just like Prince Andrew. So then people came out and said, no one believes Victoria. She's a dried up old rent party girl. We remember her in London. She'd go to the opening of a bathroom if she were invited. I think that pretty much sums up who Victoria Hervey is.
Wow, well said. And
Are
you've
you
got low.
surprised?
No, not at all. You can see it in her eyes. She's just got mischievous, devious intentions, as far as I can see, in those eyes on that picture on the screen. And she's definitely just out. To insert herself into a story of someone who's in hospital and whose life's in jeopardy, and to troll that person, it doesn't get much lower than that.
No, and what she's done is, clearly a Virginia and anyone who steps forward, but specifically Virginia, because she was the one that was the most vocal. She had a lot of trolls, and so Victoria Hervey, what she did is that anyone who expressed any dislike or any and we know that it's full of like intel trolls, right? Intel paid trolls and trolls paid for by Prince Andrew. But any account that would repeatedly bash Virginia, she would DM them, get them into her little troll army. So by now she has amassed a very big troll army because I recognized some of those handles that responded by propping this horrific Victoria Hervey in her despicable act of wishing harm upon Virginia while she's in the hospital at a time where maybe Virginia was scared and she thought she was going to die. Who knows what goes on? Even a minor accident can leave someone very frazzled. But that was not a minor accident. I mean, we can see from the bruising in her. So for Victoria Harvey to have done that speaks volumes. And if she, that is why I don't really respond to DMs, and I urge you people, Victoria Harvey is working collaboratively, not just with Prince Andrew, but with Ghislaine Maxwell in order to free Ghislaine Maxwell. She is clearly being paid for this because she has no money. I'm not even saying allegedly. Clearly, her money has to be coming from somewhere. And so, if she slips into your DMs and tries to encourage you to be part of her troll army, ignore her.
She has got 600,000 followers on Instagram.
Well, that's what you do
Unbelievable.
when you, that's how your full-time job is to collect trolls.
You think the majority of her followers are they're just toxic people then who are just out for the drama and the conflict?
Yeah, there were a lot of those, and a lot of so-called real victims. If you're a real victim, wouldn't you have gotten David Boies? I'm not going to go a lot into David Boies because I have a lot to say, and I will probably make this a 3-hour thing, and I don't want to do that. But David Boies drafted an airtight, and it wasn't his job to do it. Victims Compensation Fund wasn't his job again. It was the job of the same person who drafted the compensation fund for the Catholic Church abuse situations, the same person who drafted the 9/11 compensation fund. And somehow David Boies was the one who, quote, drafted this for this person who's very well known. And the movie has been made of him to, let's say, whitewash this Feinberg. Okay. So, however, as unlike what the public has been told, where David Boies was doing this pro bono, he wasn't. He was t this multi these multi multi-million dollar settlements that were forced upon most of these survivors, forced by not just Boies, but also J. Stanley Pottinger. Made it so that Boies and his attorney partners would get a percentage of that. So if these so-called victims were not included in that, it's because they cannot prove that they were, let's say, called victims. But somehow, for Victoria Hervey, anyone who says, oh, you know what? I spotted her. I was in a gym and I spotted Ghislaine. Now, who would remember 20, 30 years ago? You spot Ghislaine. She was going to come inside the gym, but then she saw me and I was almost a victim. There's no such a compensation for I was almost a victim. But that's the kind of people that, and I happen to be talking about a specific person I'm not going to name, but she was almost a victim. I mean, the insanity around this case has just been mind-boggling. It just, there's reality, and then some people live in an alternate state, in another universe where they see things differently. And those are the people that are following this skeleton of a woman. I mean, you've seen her photographs, right? I mean, she doesn't eat.
She's on the screen right now, and we've got tons of questions have come in about Victoria Hervey. If you're, are you okay to take some questions?
Yeah, of course. Let's go.
All right. So the first one is, so is Victoria basically a PR hound from the get-go, trying to stay relevant?
Well, she's always chased publicity, from what I can tell, looking into her background. But I think at this point, she is being paid, and she has been paid for a couple of years by not just Prince Andrew's, let's just say Prince Andrew, but also by Ghislaine Maxwell's family. She is working in tandem with them to declare that Prince Andrew did nothing. And to declare that Ghislaine did nothing. So is she doing this for free? No, not if she couldn't even pay for her own party at the age of 25. And what is she now, 45? Come on, please.
Yeah, that was the next question from Jan. How old is she? She's actually 48. But as we know, these people bathe in the blood of virgins and look young for, live into ripe old ages of over 100. And that was just a joke, by the
That's
way, with
true.
the guidelines. All right. So, next question is How did she get her lady title? That's from Django.
Yeah, she inherited it from her father, who almost did not inherit it from his father because he wasn't the firstborn. And when her father inherited the title, it's really just a title. It doesn't mean anything because her father was, from the time he was a small boy, a troublemaker. He was a thief. He was into fights, and he went to jail. He went to jail for stealing jewelry, and he was a gun runner, and he went to off to live in Monaco so that but he was in jail for precisely kind of similar things to that this woman is doing, taking money and not paying it back. At some point, I think that she should be in jail too. If you don't pay your debts, shouldn't you? Isn't there like a debtor's prison somewhere, or at least a like somebody who doesn't eat in order to think she looks good? If a dieter's prison, I don't know. There's got to be some kind of prison where she can go and maybe keep her big mouth shut because it's being paid for. That mouth, when it opens or when those fingers move on the keyboard, those are paid for fingers.
So Wendy is asking whether you think she's still on Prince Andrew's payroll, is he, if he's helping her out financially.
I 100% believe that he is. She's a staff member. She was never his. I want to make this very clear. She's never his girlfriend. I found one instance of her having gone on one date, and that could have just been a hookup. She was not his ex-girlfriend, as mainstream loves to say. She is on their payroll as a troll.
We're getting asked about her reality TV appearances and whether she's been on Big Brother. And I'm just looking on Google to see if there's a reality TV. She's appeared in various shows, it says on Google. She's been in films, television, BBC sitcom Absolutely Fabulous, Channel 5's The Farm, ITV's Love Island, Channel 4's The Jump. She's written a young adult book, Lady in Waiting, and her relationships include not just Prince Andrew but also Boyzone member Shane Lynch. She's co attracted controversy in 2003, saying it's so bad being homeless in winter. They should go somewhere warm like the Caribbean where they can eat fresh fish all day. She said that Maxwell had used her as bait to attract women to Jeffrey. She suggested a photo with Prince Andrew and Virginia had been faked with body doubles. Oh my God, come on now. As in this photo, folks, let me put it on the screen, has been faked with body doubles. And you've actually got someone in the in you got a question about this photo, if I can find it here, saying that it looks like it's not real. But all that came, they tried to say the fingers weren't matching and all kinds of stuff, didn't they, when it first
Yeah,
came
they
out?
did.
But it was
It was
real, and
authenticated by the FBI, and the bag, as I said earlier, has timestamp. It's got everything. Okay, well, this I'm going to ignore because I'm tired of these. It looks fake. It's a real photograph. It's been authenticated. There's a back that is never shown, and I'm not going to repeat Victoria Hervey's ridiculous allegations.
indeed. All right, so we've got over 1,000 watching live with Kirby Summers. We're discussing Virginia's recent car crash and her message from hospital. There have been several updates on the case. The message, it was supposed to be a private message, but it got out to the media and caused international news headlines. And the media today are in lockstep on the story that Virginia has been charged with a restraining order breach days before mystery bus crash. She was says that where is it? Spokesperson said on Wednesday that Virginia's not dying. She had made a mistake, and she had not intended to make the Instagram post public. And she was listed to appear at a magistrate's court in Perth, Australia, 10 days before the crash, over an allegation of breaching a family violence restraining order. Marriage to Robert of 22 years had recently broken down. They're no longer living together at their beachside mansion in the Ocean Reef suburb of Perth. And she's been separately charged with an allegation of providing inadequate storage facility for firearms. So all the mainstream media now are piling on Virginia and making her out to appear to be a bad person. So what do you make of that, Kirby?
It's despicable. You talk about kicking someone when they're down. Look, we all know that it's still Mockingbird press, right? And we still know that they are owned, the media are owned by the very same people that were part of this PDF file. And if they have, they see the smallest opening, which they appear to believe they see, to gang up against Virginia Giuffre, who is the strongest woman I will ever have the honor of meeting, of knowing, the strongest woman. She opened the door. This is the first PDF scandal in history that wasn't labeled a hoax, where it was silenced completely and mainstream has not followed it at all, or that where the satanic panic was declared, oh, these children came home with these adult below the belt situations by themselves at the age of 4 or 5, okay? And that was with, you know, Colonel Michael Aquino, and of course, connected again to the same apparatus that we're looking at. So this is the very first time, thanks to Virginia Giuffre, historically, that we have been able to pierce that veil because of her strength. And for them to now do this does not surprise me. It saddens me, but it does not take away from the accomplishment that Virginia, on her own, this tiny little girl whose life did not begin very well. She was, you know, grew up in a very troubled home. At 14, she ran away. She was first, you know, sort of transportation situation with Ron Eppinger, with other girls like her. And then she falls into the clutches of this evil, I mean, these things continue. I hate to say that they continue to present day, but into this evil, very dark underbelly that is a real thing. And she falls into their clutches. And then many years later into the future, even after she escapes it. And I want to say something, Sean. You have an interesting guest who I enjoy, Lionel.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he said something that struck me, and I would like to address it. He said that the victims of, let's say, J.E. were living on the Upper East Side. And that they were not being forced to stay there. He gave a very graphic description about people who are being injected with something, knocked over the head, dragged away, and that they, quote, are free to leave. No, you're not. And I think that I like him. I think he's a funny guy. You know, I began to listen to his stuff. But I think Lionel is unaware of what happens in the human transportation and how a person is selected because of their low self-esteem. They have already been battered. They have already been broken. And so Lionel comes from a place of strength. You know, he had the ability of getting a good education. He has good parents. You know, he's got a stable relationship, and perhaps doesn't see how the manipulation happens, how coercion happens, how threats happen. So in the instance, I'm not going to talk about the girls right now, but let's say in the instance of the Franklin situation, we know, let's say, for example, I'll just use one example, that Troy Bonner, his younger brother, was unalived as a threat to him. In my own instance, I've had 3 unalivements in my family. 3.
Wow.
All accidents, right? All accidents. But that these things happen, and that there are, and then, and not to mention the financial situation. So one of the lawsuits that is ongoing is a woman who was brought into this country, right, illegally, who is still fighting against the estate of JE and the opposition, meaning his long-term attorneys, the Darren Indyke and all of that. Well, so that there are a lot of everyone has a different backstory. It's not like we can look at the, let's say, the PDF file situations, or each victim has a unique story onto themselves based on their own history, what's happened to them. The ones that are alive are the ones that we hear from. 99.9% of these PDF trafficked persons who are caught up in this web are made to disappear. They are turned into users of substances. In fact, what happens, and what happened, which I and a couple of Jeff's victims still talk about to present day, is how Jeff would brag that in order to get back to one of the girls who had begun to talk back in the Palm Beach days, he had somebody put a substance into her home, and then he had her busted and put in jail. So that, it's, if they're not turned into abusers of this stuff, they are set up in some way so that you they can be easily discredited. Oh, that person went to jail, or that person is, selling their persona, person to, no one wakes up one day saying that, well, when I grow up, I want to be a professional hoe. Nobody says that. People end up in that horrific, horrifying, and that happened to me, clearly. That's why I'm here. Nobody wakes up. That happens. That is the most horrifying thing. And so I just want to just say to Lionel, I'm so happy that you have a happy life, but we cannot lump and talk about these women as though they could have escaped because they were living on the Upper East Side. In every major city, in the buildings where you least expect, behind those doors, there is some human trafficking. And when you take away somebody's esteem and their financial ability, and you take away their passport or whatever you do, and you estrange them, you separate them from any of anyone in their life who can help them. They have no relationship with their families. They have no more friends. They have no money. Where are they to go? What are they to do? And again, if they are lucky enough to be alive, most of them are not alive.
I agree with you entirely. Lionel does take a lot of flack because sometimes he comes at it from the dispassionate, cynical viewpoint of a prosecutor. He's trying to play devil's advocate. I know his wife does a lot helping human transportation survivors, but I've written books about Epstein and Jimmy Savile, and Savile in particular would target girls who are in Kerr homes. He called them the sweet shops. They were his sweet shops. And if these girls are underage, then it's statutory R word is the crime. And they are definitely indoctrinated and groomed and manipulated into these situations by these monsters. And these monsters don't get a pass just because these girls at the time are so young and are not able to stand up for themselves. No, they don't get a pass. There are laws to protect these people from these monsters when they're at that age. So and you, of course, Kirby, know it from firsthand experience, the devious schemes these predators put into place, because they know, especially kids from care homes or kids from who are just state raised and have got nobody to fall back on as support, parental support or guidance. They're not going to be believed in court, especially as they evolve into adults and they become addicts because they've not been given the tools to deal with their trauma. So the predators know if they target these people, they're not going to be believed. You're the opposite of that. You're like the person who's educated as a voice for these people, And it's great that you're standing up for them and pointing these things out.
I mean, they're intentionally turned into abusers, yeah, meaning abusers of substance. So was Virginia, frankly, but she was able to get away from that, and stop that habit. But not everyone has the willpower and the strength. I'm really happy Robbie came along. And Virginia did escape the first moment she got, by the way, for those of you who are unaware. She was sent to Australia in order to become the masseuse that she was always promised that she was supposed to be. That is how they lured her into this web of lies and like the most horrifying life that people like to look at it and say, oh, well, I would like to go on those shopping sprees. Oh, well, that looks like it was, it had to be very elegant or very this or very that, very posh. No, you are somebody's toy. The fact that they wanted to put JE's seed into her, they were offering her $200,000. If they would even pay her, I always, I knew what was going to happen to Virginia if she had in fact accepted the request that she carry a child and allowed for Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, to become the mother, the legal mother, and Jeff to become the legal father. Because although the offer was have our child, we're going to pay you $200,000, like at a certain in intervals. But I knew, and then Virginia, to her credit, and I think her credit is because she was a street kid, so she knew a little bit of how to defend herself. She says, "Well, I will have the child, but at first, I want to get my degree that you promised me. So send me whatever school," and they did. But there was a caveat even to that. She was supposed to, when she was in Thailand, it was in Thailand, wasn't it? I think it was in
Yes.
Thailand, yes.
Yes.
So that they put her into the school, they paid for it, and it was a couple of weeks that she was supposed to take this class. But on her way back, now remember, she's young. I believe even at that point, she was 18, 19. So she looks very young, even for her age when she was very young, because she's small in stature and she's tiny. They wanted her to bring back another victim. So, two girls get on a plane together. Nobody's going to think, oh, well, this is a trafficking victim. But in fact, that's what they were doing. They were bringing in girls from other countries. But Virginia, she didn't stick with that plan. I knew that if Virginia had stuck with that plan, we would have never even been here today to talk about that, because they would have unalived her once the child was born. Why keep her around, right? How many of JE's children are with us today is a question no one is asking. No one is
Yeah.
asking this. He didn't have that ranch in New Mexico for nothing. So I believe that there are children of JE, because there were only four rooms in that house, very enormous house. There's some very strange things that mainstream doesn't cover. We hear mainstream cover the island, the island, the island. You would think this is a 1970s show, the island, the island, the island. No, there was a lot of really strange stuff happening. Nobody talks about the fact that they wanted to impregnate Virginia Giuffre with JE's child, called Ghislaine Maxwell a mother. What a mother that would have been. Send her to Australia, or send her to, sorry, to Thailand. Thank God she met Robbie. She tells him, because you're that age, you want to unburden yourself. You meet somebody, you're not being, let's say, followed, right? She's earned their trust. He says, I'll marry you right now. Come with me. Come with me. But frankly, that happened to me. That's how it happened to me too. I met someone. I had gone to Miami, and then I met someone, and I told him, this is what I'm stuck in. This is what's ha And he's like, no, that's it. It stops today. So I had the same kind of savior type situation. Without that, I don't know what would have happened to me. But I had a similar person come into my life like Robbie did to her, and you know, she was able, thank God, to live a normal life for a while, and then she decided, so she did get away at the first moment. She is the rarest of the 1%. Also, she is just unique and strong and special, and opened the door for the world to see the slice of life that mainstream has kept away from us, that politicians who are in fact part of the same system. How many of those names came out, let's say, when another woman that somehow she and I connected with her attorney, the madam who, DC madam who said she was not, she was going to release some names. She was supplying, let's say, trafficked persons to very high-end people. Sydney, no, not Sydney, another woman whose name for some reason, but then she went to her mother's house.
Heidi Fleiss.
No, although Heidi Fleiss was a friend of Jeff's, frankly, and is in that circle, but there was another woman who came out into and she said, I'm not suicidal. And she had a large book full of these same names, you know, full of the same names and additional names. And her attorney, Montgomery Sibley Blair, I think I remember her attorney, Deborah Palfrey, Deborah Jean Palfrey. So, and then when she went to stay with her mother, the trial was ongoing. They came after her. She was found hanging in her mother's yard. You don't go visit your mom to go on alive yourself. And I mean, so the fact of that I'm trying to really make here is that it is through Virginia, thank God, that we are able to have heard about the names that we've heard about. It was because of her, you know. So we owe at all of us here, from this moment on to forever, we owe her a very big debt of gratitude for opening this door, which mainstream, as you can see, they're trying to push back. They're trying to push it closed because if they discredit her, they're basically then going to be able to say, well, nothing that she said is true, and that now that's a conspiracy. That's a conspiracy.
And she's still campaigning now. She didn't ride off into the sunset with her settlement and shut her mouth. If you go on Virginia's Twitter, you can see she's, calling out Pam Bondi, etc., about the list and the names, and still putting pressure for the release of bigger names. So if you are watching now, we are with Kirby Summers. We've got a new show starting at 1. So get your questions in now, folks, for Kirby. We're talking about Virginia and the car crash. We've been talking a lot about Lady Victoria Hervey trolling Virginia, and we've looked at her background and the vested interests possibly behind her. And you've got a question from Fifi then. Fifi said earlier on, you said that Virginia, was what was it, a street kid. And Fifi's asking, is that true? And where was her family when she was a kid?
She had issues with her family. She had issues with her mother. And she ran away. I mean, they put her into these boarding schools. So, like, you know, I just want to say that I've never said this publicly. I have an older brother who was put into a boarding school when his mother died, and his father became my father, married my mother. And my mother, for some reason, there were two boys left from that marriage, and their mother died. And my brother was put into a boys' home in New York. Well, he was SA'd as a child. And Virginia was put into this type of home when she was a child. And she was SA'd, right? She had been SA'd already for a while, so she ran away from that. And then she ended up, as I said earlier, with a man named Ron Eppinger at the age of 14. And that's what I mean by she was a street kid. It's not like Virginia was hanging around the street, but Virginia ran away from home as a child, as a young teen. She had nowhere to go, so that when a limousine pulled up and said, "Hey, kid, I can give you a meal," she hopped into the car, and it happened to be Ron Eppinger, who was another PDF file with a ring of him, his own, you know. And so she had some street smarts in order to get away when she went to Australia. She meets this nice guy. He's like, "Okay, just I can make that world go away with you. Come with me to Australia." They got married immediately, and she went on to live what appears to be a normal life. She had three children, God bless them all, until the thing reared up again with Jeff and the investigations. And because she had just had a daughter, and she did not want this world to be there for her daughter and her children, she said, "Okay, I'm back in. I'm going to fight this." So she stopped running and trying to hide. And people think that if you go and you move away, that they're not going to find you. No, they can. Remember Edward Snowden in 2013, how they spy on everyone. They've had this facility and this ability to do so much longer, for much longer time than what Edward Snowden did. And frankly, Jeff was part of Intel, as Alex Acosta was very kind enough to let us know, as was Ghislaine Maxwell. So did they have the ability to know where she was? Yes, they just decided to leave her alone. But in other cases, they unalived people, according to the what other people in this circle have said, and they have continued to do with Juliet. They have people inserting themselves into her life and beating her up and slashing her tires. The I continue to get trolled to present day. It's part of what happens if you step up and you try to out very powerful people. You are going to get trolled, and you're going to get feedback, pushback. My name rarely appears in the newspapers, even when I was giving the stories to the media about Virginia, because of who my abuser was and is, right? Because of that name, that's a powerful name. And so, but the media made a mistake here. We all know that Virginia is who she is, and that she has survived, thank God, and hopefully she will pull through. And I think if people cannot see through the darkness of Victoria Hervey and her trolls and Prince Andrew and Ghislaine Maxwell and her family, if they cannot see through that, then there's no hope for them. But the rest of us who are sane, we know that Virginia Giuffre is in fact a hero, a heroine of our time.
Well said. And you've had loads of questions come in. So we'll try and get through some of these. And the first one is, comparatively speaking, with all the whistleblowing victims, could this incident be blown up for deviant intentions?
What kind of deviant intention? I don't understand.
I think this person is asking about the co-opting by vested interests. Well, we could see in the mainstream media that the story has been twisted completely around now, from Virginia being this person who's suffered this tragedy, who's got days to live, to now she is a criminal and a perpetrator of violating court orders. So that's
Okay, so
the way it's been blown up to me.
I didn't want to interfere when you were speaking. I apologize. So I want to reiterate that depending on the country or the state in the United States where you live, if you have an abusive spouse, and in this case, I had heard years ago that the media were going to go in on the fact that Robbie was an abusive spouse, allegedly, but she's a tiny girl compared to anyone, frankly. That it they do not just look at the spouse who has hurt the person. And there's frankly a photograph of Virginia on her Insta. And if you look at the comments on that particular photo where her throat looks like somebody had grabbed it, where she has a definite black eye, where she's wearing a cap because you can't see her hair, I'm imagining because maybe it was bloody or something. So she's even wearing a cap. But she's hospitalized, and people on that specific photograph that she uploaded a couple of years ago, I think maybe a year or two ago or something like that, people are saying this looks like domestic violence to me. That's what they were writing. And I don't, I don't write, I don't write about this stuff. I don't comment on any of these posts. But what we have to remember is that if there is harm against a spouse, usually it's the man against the woman. It's very rare that it's the woman against the man. And in some places, if you are the victim of spousal abuse, you still have to go to court and they will claim that you are part of, that's just the way it is. That's it doesn't mean that Virginia did anything.
Is an interesting question. Goes back to our original research that we did years ago. Did Glenn's dad know Jeffrey before Glenn did?
Well, I've written a book, Ghislaine Maxwell, an unauthorized biography, and while I did not add certain things to that book, I do. I'm sort of like, I'm going to be publishing a second edition. Ghislaine Maxwell appeared in Jeffrey Epstein's life in June of 1991. Ghislaine Maxwell's father did not die until November of 1991. Now, despite what Ari Ben-Menashe has said, I do not believe, based on everything that I have experienced, I do not believe that what Ari Ben-Menashe said, that Robert Maxwell was running a small thing and that he gave Epstein his quote blessing. I know that the first instance of Ghislaine meeting Epstein did happen in June of 1991. He was just testing out one of the planes given to him by Leslie Wexner, who didn't just give him property, didn't just give him one building, as most people think, gave him several properties, gave him an airplane, gave him his staff. And she got on that flight. And Ghislaine, being the flirt that she was always, tried to flirt with him. Or he saw something, and something went wrong even during that first meeting. And then he, during that first meeting, and this is part of my updated version that I haven't uploaded to Amazon, decided that he was going to play hard to get and went out and got another be very beautiful woman, got her onto the plane, and paid no attention to Ghislaine Maxwell, who. But I do not believe that, let's say, everything in the book are contacts acquired by Robert Maxwell. I believe a lot of them are, but I have noticed contacts belonging to Leslie Wexner in that book as well. So people think, oh, it's all these contacts are from, no, some are, but the other thing that most people are unaware of is these books were updated every 6 months. These phone books. It came out during Ghislaine Maxwell's trial, and nobody really caught on to the fact that these were transient books. Every 6 months, a new phone book was made. And we only have one of them. We only have one for a short period of time. So, the other thing I want to say is that one of the people who I've had many people contact me, one of these is Bill Hamilton. Sean, you must know the name Bill Hamilton, Inslaw, the Promise Software.
Yeah, we've done a few shows on the Promise software. Yeah, with Robert Maxwell was pushing it all over the world,
Yes.
and they left the back door for certain countries' intelligence agency.
So Bill Hamilton contacted me in 2019. He was very impressed with my voice for whatever the reason, and he and I became friends. And he knew I was on to sharing what I knew and researching. And what he disclosed to me was that he was of the opinion that at some point Epstein had met Maxwell, at which point he too was given a copy of the compromised Promise software. So it is what it was the opinion of Bill Hamilton, told to me privately, that I'm sharing with you today for the first time, that he believes that Promise was given to Epstein by Robert Maxwell on the Lady Galen. And I stayed in touch with him because I found additional information that I would keep sending to Bill. And I was very frankly, I'm going to take this opportunity to say that I was very surprised and saddened by the two guys who did the Netflix special on Danny Casolaro, the octopus. Danny too was unalived. And he was onto the same things that we're still talking about today, frankly, And in the fourth part, and I think that's the only way I guess you can get a Netflix special greenlit, is to cast doubt on Bill Hamilton, a man of great integrity. And also Michael Ricconosciuto. Michael Ricconosciuto reached out to me as well. I don't know there is anybody on this planet that's involved in one of these highly known things. Michael Ricconosciuto spent, what, almost 30 years in jail for having the decency to say, yes, the government did do this. I'm a witness to it because I was the one to do the back door. And for people to try to defame, that's what, if the government cannot defame you, put you in jail, they will unalive you like they did Danny Casolaro. But I've been in touch with these guys, and when I see Netflix specials, or when I now hear from you that they're trying to defame Virginia Giuffre, it's people expect that our heroes will be spoken about badly, because you have to tarnish somebody's reputation in order for them to keep the status quo.
Exactly, and it's prolific. The more you are over the targets, the more you are going to get targeted so they can shut you up. And just for the benefit of the viewers, then we did an episode on American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders, with one of our podcast guests, John Abbott, who knew one of the characters in the episode. It was the he was one of his former crime partners, actually. So he knew, he had quite a lot of inside information. So I'll put that in the live chat, and I'll put it in the description box as well. But going back to we've got about 10 minutes left. Get your final questions in, folks. I think we've covered this one already. Why is Lady H took to social media? And Kirby's already said that she thinks that she's, getting rewarded somehow by vested interests. Is that anything else to add to that one, or?
I think that's pretty clear. I mean, she's got all these followers. So, yeah, that's her full-time job. She gets paid for that.
A lot of people are asking which intelligence agency you think Jeffrey and Ghislaine were working for, or was it multiple intelligence agencies?
I think for sure, CIA, for sure, Mossad is in there. I think those two are the ones that I've been able to really find actual supporting documentation that I keep on my Substack. So if you haven't become a member of my Substack, I invite you. That's where I do my deep dives. I've been working on finding the answers to my own life, and I didn't realize that they eventually, at some day in July 6th of 2019, that somebody by the name of Jeff E would be arrested, and I would ultimately end up finding the answers to why somebody wanted me unalived in this kind of cloak and dagger world. Because I knew, in 2008, a high official in the CIA contacted me because I
Wow.
used to keep blogs. What I knew that my life was in danger, clearly. And so what I would do is I would try to be as public as possible. I would keep blogs. I would just try to just keep a footprint. I did not know that CIA had been part of my abuser's life, that Mossad had been part of my abuser's life. I didn't know, but I ended up getting an email from someone who inserted himself into tried to insert himself into my life, asking me about, let's say, Meshulam Ricklis, because he said that he was so and so, and that he had some kind of bond, and he wanted to know if this was still worth something. Well, clearly that was an in. And at the time, I was somewhat suspicious about who was calling me from where. Already, I knew that people had been inserted into my life. And so the only way that I responded to him was I said, well, I'm going to call. Just so I called the White House and I said, transfer me to this person. And they did. And at that time, we still had actual search results, right, coming up. Not everything was scrubbed as it is now. And I looked up his name, and he used to use a very interesting name that I'm including in the follow-up to my memoir. And as it turns out, he was the head of the nuclear division of the CIA, which was like, I didn't understand what it was, but he remained in my life, Sean. And the question eventually became, and I didn't even understand the question until later. Do you know if Meshulam and Ira Ricklis were with CIA? And I just thought that was a stupid question at the time. I didn't understand it. And I didn't even know how to answer it. And then, come to know, I don't know if people know that Meshulam Ricklis with Theodore Arison, who was the father of Mickey Arison, and also, I'm trying to remember her name, but she inherited Bank Hapoalim or something in Israel. Well, in some newspaper in Israel, when they talked about Ted, because he left the United States so that he doesn't have to pay taxes and move to Israel, as did Meshulam Ricklis later, they created Carnival Cruise Lines. Well, I then, I read the Jerusalem Post because I knew that there was some crossover, and the Jerus I think it was the Jerusalem Post or something like that wrote that. Because of Ted Arison's, and of course that meant Ricklis too, because they were partners, help to the Mossad for his life, they had in fact allowed him the gift of Bank Hapoalim or something like that, which his daughter Shari Arison, who's now retired, ran. But it was like, okay, so I now have concrete evidence here, okay? This is not a thought. Of CIA and Mossad involved in a collaborative effort. And I knew that there were, these characters interlinked and interlocked with each other. And so I think definitely going back to JE, it was similar. It was CIA, it was Mossad. There is some involvement with the MI, with the British interests that I include here and there. I'm not going to ever come up with a piece of paper signed by anyone, but I do have a quote, a direct quote by an intelligence official for MI5 about Robert Maxwell and how they paid for him to establish himself as soon as he came out of the military.
Wow. You've got a question about whether the Clintons will ever be held accountable for their involvement with
No.
JE.
No.
And then you've got where do you think all the video footage went to that was JE filmed?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm currently working on a series, although I've tentatively named it President Gerald Ford's connection, odd connection to the Franklin case and other odd things, like, just a bunch of odd things. I've discovered that all of these, they continue through generations, right? This person is connected to this. But during the 70s and the 80s, there's a connection between a certain ring in Dallas, Texas, and a certain ring, and the information was kept on cards. Now, there were as many as 50,000 cards that were, let's say, confiscated by FBI, but then the person would be released like within a month or two, or maybe bailed out and then skipped bond and whatever. And then the person would be able to recreate that list. So it is my theory that the list was, let's say, given back to whomever was put in charge of a certain territory. Okay. It is my belief that whoever is continuing this thing and has taken Jeff's place, it still has access to that. And of course, that's all electronic now. But these lists, of course, are in the possession of the intel apparatus. It's in the Donald Trump can see the list any day he wants. And it has continued to be available because this is how our government and other governments operate. They have this intel. This is how Hoover kept control of the politicians. Oh, you know, he would sit them down and say, "Hey, how are you? And I understand you have X, Y, and Z problem. Well, you know, I need this. Oh, and I understand that you know, had this assignation, let's say, with this person, and I won't tell anyone, but I need this from you." And you know, this is how it's done. It's not like this is a new thing. It's just that we can thank Virginia for bringing it out on behalf of all of the victims across the world and across time.
So Cassandra wants to know, is there a Keating connection
Yes,
to Jeffrey?
it's on, that's on my Substack.
Oh, and all of Kirby's links are in the description box below this video. So please support what she's doing because her research is the best. And
Thank you.
I think, yeah, let's see. Do we know why Virginia is estranged from her kids? That's from Mrs. T.
We don't know what happens in someone's private life.
Lisa wants to know, is it true that Virginia will be able to speak soon because the gag order is almost up?
Virginia's never stopped speaking.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. Let's
Even
see.
you know, by the way, even the women who signed and accepted the settlement to their detriment, they're still speaking. Some of them are still
Yeah.
speaking. So it's just that the media doesn't cover this.
Yep, they're always going to protect themselves. All right, so there's just 1 minute or so left. Let me see. Do you think Virginia has been targeted? And let's see, which hospital? We've already covered most of this stuff. It's in the news. Is kidney failure after a car crash weird?
No, I looked it up, and it happens regularly. You can look it up yourself. Just any search engine, put down kidney, put down car crash. You'll see a lot of information. But don't put another year, because now if you put that in, only Virginia stuff shows up. So put down other years.
All right, we are at the end then. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the viewers, Kirby?
Well, follow those of us who tell the truth versus mainstream media who wishes to bash Virginia.
Including Lady Victoria Hervey. Let's.
I think we have to like stop calling her a lady. She has shown herself to be a thug.
Whenever they wheel her out, look the other way, folks, because
Yeah,
something
just
is
block her.
something untoward is happening. Someone is sweating somewhere.
And remember, she's not doing it for free. She's not doing it because she thinks this is the truth. The woman is broke, and she's on the side. Do you want to really be on the side of Ghislaine Maxwell's family and Prince Andrew? Because that's what she represents.
Exactly. All right. Huge thank you for coming on. I'm going to let you go and close the show.
Sure. Thank
And
you, Sean.
we'll hope to speak soon. You take care, my friend. Much love
You
from the UK.
too, honey. Bye-bye.
All right. Cheers. Bye. All right. Phenomenal guest. Please support Kirby's work. By clicking on all of her links. And if you go over to her site, give her some love from this channel so she knows about the cross pollination. And we have got Zara Marley coming up at 6 p.m. UK. We're starting a bit earlier this week because she was up till 3 in the morning last week, which was insane. But she is a power speaker. And co-hosting that one is going to be Ron. Is going to be my partner Jen speaking to Zara for the first time because my parents are down here, like I said yesterday, and we have got them able to take care of Ziggy while me and Jen can come on the screen together, which I know you guys like. Ron is going to start a show right now, 1 o'clock on Virginia, the latest news stories. So when we finish this one, you will be customized over to that one. And then we've also got later this week, we've got my podcast guest, Ricky Killeen, is coming on Friday, April the 4th at noon to talk about Tommy Robinson being in prison. Will he survive prison? And whether the conditions are unlawful for Tommy Robinson in prison. So that's just off the top of my head what we've got coming up. I know a lot of people are asking about Charlie Seeger Part 3, Old School Liverpool Gangster. We have released that one. It's out there now. So you can check that out on the True Crime Podcast playlist. And if you want more of Virginia's latest news stories, stay tuned when I end this one. And it will go over to Ron's stream where he's going to do the roundup of developing stories. So thanks for supporting Virginia.